Cape Talk.
Money Matters with Sylvia Walker.
And you know, when this song plays next Friday, I think we'll all be the happiest people in the world, because I think payday comes early next Friday. Chatting this morning to our resident money guru, Sylvia Walker. And if you want to contact Sylvia, it's sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za. Now, high rates of unemployment, and many people are starting their own small businesses. We were chatting yesterday about the fact that some people actually have second jobs. And people sort of start up a small business on the side, Sylvia, where they come to work and they sell rotis, or they come to work and they sell biscuits, and you know, they want to run that as a little small business. Or you find yourself on the unemployment line, like Malusi Gigaba at the moment, and you need to start up your you need to start up your own business, and you know, the UIF is only about 3 months or 6 months down the line for you. So, Sylvia, good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Zaid. Are you well?
I am fine, Sylvia, on a Friday morning, and listening to that song always puts us in a good mood. Tell me very quickly, a small business and small business startups, and how do you fund this and how do you go about this? So, you know, it's one thing to have a great business idea, but how do you sort of plan for how much it will cost? And is there a one-size-fits-all for this particular issue?
I think, you know, Zane, the thing about starting, as you say, selling the biscuits or doing the sideline while you're actually full-time employed is the best way to do it, because you start small and it can then grow into something more permanent. So that's obviously ideal. But if you're going to be starting a business, and a lot of people, as you say, are forced into that situation by through retrenchment or early retirement or, you know, other reasons, then it's very important to have a business plan. So a proper business plan where you look at what you want to provide, what service, what product you want to provide, and how you're actually going to make a profit, because that's the critical thing. And I think it's also very important to have a look and see who would actually want to use your service or your business. So what kind of research do you do? Is there a market for it? Do people actually want it? Because, you know, we've many times seen people have a brilliant idea, but actually there's not much of a need for it, so it falls flat. So you need a business plan. As I say, you need to give some thought into the business. What's it going to be? How are you going to make a profit? And then, you know, is it going to be a one-man band? Are you going to start small? Are you going to have other more complex needs? So if you're starting small and it's just an individual, you know, it's just you, you may just need a, you know, a phone, some internet, some premises to work from. Perhaps you're going to start working from home. If it's a bit more complicated, you need to then consider what costs are going to be needed for that. So, you know, office space, equipment, machinery, whatever else you need. So it all depends on the kind of business. But the critical thing is you need to think it through. You don't just sort of stumble into it blindly. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah. And, you know, adding up the cost that you may incur and having a look at the business, I think the big part here, Sylvia, for me, when I started up the two businesses that I did have, was actually to be realistic about it and to sit down and say to yourself, rather add in more than add in less.
Yes, I think so. Rather be conservative, you know, as you're 100% right there. Rather be conservative instead of being sort of overly optimistic. Because if things are better, then it's a surprise, you know.
One of the things that people don't think about in terms of a business is market and promotion costs to the business. You know, how about that, and how much do you budget for that?
Yeah, I think, Zane, you know, that's a huge area, because it's easy to have a business, but actually there's not much of a need for it. So that you need to actually also understand and explore and think about who's gonna buy your product or service, and then where you're going to find those people. And that will then determine how much money you need to spend on it. So I also think it's often a good idea to use experts. So if social media is going to be one of your main thrusts, your main marketing efforts are going to be through social media, then pay somebody, get an expert, somebody who knows that space and knows that area. So, I think you need to think that through very carefully. So for me, it's a critical business cost, is the marketing and the promotion.
Chatting this morning to Sylvia Walker, our financial planner, and if you'd like to get hold of her to sort of pick her brain on how to finance your business, it's sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za. So here comes the crunch of this entire issue, Sylvia. So I want to start up a business. I've got a bond and my house is sort of 5 years before I finish paying it off. And you go and sit down with the bank manager, and the first thing they ask you is, do you have any security to give us if you want to sort of take this 250,000 or 500,000 rand for us? So how do you fund the expenses for this business? Do you borrow money or do you just sort of start it out of your own pocket?
Again, Zane, as I said, it depends on what you're planning to do and the size of it. So, yeah, the default is that one would go and give, you know, use some kind of asset of security, as you say, your home or the business. You might get a business loan depending on what your business, you know, how your business plan and what security you can offer to the bank or to the financial institution. There are some innovative financing, business financing operations that have started in recent years. So, If you shop around, there are some other alternative ways that one can actually do it. But generally, the traditional way is to go via a lending institution. And you need to obviously have you need to know exactly what you want money for. What are you borrowing money for? And there are two options, really. You can either borrow and then use something as security, or you can actually, give away part of your business. So basically give away a share of your business. So you take someone in as a partner, you know, for 50% of my business or 25% of my business, I will, you need to invest X amount in my business. So that's another way of doing it. And the advantage of that, of course, is that you can actually get somebody who has got some skills that they can bring to the party. Because also often we must remember we are experts in one particular area, but maybe the business will need skills in another area. So that could be quite a good win-win. It could be a negative in that you're going to have someone else who's telling you what to do and what not to do because they own part of the business. So you need to weigh up those costs and, you know, the sort of benefits, the costs, the benefits and the negatives of that.
The thing with partners is what I found is that you need to put down everything in writing. You need to really honestly and not say, this is a good guy. I'm going to bring him into my business. I'm giving him 25% of my business. That particular person might have ulterior motives coming into your business. So when the business starts running, it is a major problem. And even if you happen to die in the process, while you're owning that business, what's going to happen to your part of the business? So a number of things actually that we need to look at. So how do you actually sort of start separating your personal finance decisions from those of the business? And this is what the problem is with small businesses. A number of people live off that money.
They do, then. You know, they buy groceries from the business account and then they buy business equipment from their personal account. It just becomes very muddied. It becomes this gray area. Just coming back to your comment, partners, very, very important. You know, in business, there are no friends. And one hears horror stories every now and then of people who've been taken for a ride. So there's no friends. And even family, everything needs to be in writing. Everything needs to be specified. Just separating those personal and business decisions, very definitely. I mean, the very basic thing is separate bank accounts. It sounds like a no-brainer, but even if you're just operating as a one-man band, maybe running a carpet cleaning business or a garden service business, it shouldn't be run out of your personal bank account. So keep the two separate. Also, you should be drawing a salary from the business. So that must be part of your planning. So it's not a case of I'm going to go into this business now, I'm going to hopefully make some money, and then, the bit of money that I make, I can use to live off. Your plan must be that you need to draw a salary, and you will need cash flow for the first probably 6 months or so, until the business is generating enough money.
And so, how important is it for the keeping of records while you're doing all of this financial planning?
Yeah, it's very important, Zane, because there obviously are compliance issues, there are tax issues. So if you don't keep your proper if you don't have your proper record keeping in place, you could find things in a huge mess and a huge muddle, particularly when it comes to things, say, like paying tax. So get a professional on your side. Get an accountant in if you need to. Get somebody to give you advice. So understand what processes, what records you need to keep, and make sure that those are actually in place, because as I said, could get quite messy. And then, as you alluded, as your business starts growing, you might need to think about that business continuity. So what would happen if I died or if somebody in the business, a critical person, fell ill, for instance, or became disabled? So you need to think about some kind of insurance, business continuity insurance, so that that business could carry on. It's not, it wouldn't fall flat if something happened to a key person in the business. Yeah. So a number of considerations that one needs to think about.
The thing is that VAT registration for small businesses is such a murky place to be in. But I think we need to look at that, at a different time. So, what are the tips then if somebody out there is thinking to himself or herself, I'm going to start a small business? What are the tips that we're giving them this morning?
I think, Zane, you know, don't be tempted to just use all the cash that you've got and put it into the business. If you want to start a business, think about it logically and clearly. So don't put all your eggs in that basket, because if something goes wrong with that basket, you could have a problem. So you need to still have some financial security elsewhere. And very important is the whole networking. You mentioned that just before I went on air. So have, you know, join networks of other entrepreneurs. Find yourself a mentor. Draw on other people's experience. Don't try and go it alone. There is a lot of information, a lot of resources on the internet. And then definitely keep your planning separate. Your personal planning, your personal financial planning, and your business planning must be two separate entities. Don't muddy those waters, because you could end up feeling very lost and actually not quite sure what's going on at the end of the day. So very much keep them separate.
There we go. If you need to find out anything about starting your small business and finally getting the money necessary to start up that small business, you can contact Sylvia at sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za. Time